It's good to see everyone in the house of the Lord, and all of those that I know and a few that I don't know. Looking forward to changing that after service and getting to meet a few of you. Amen. Do you have your Bible? Amen. Psalm chapter 86. I'm going to read verse 5, 6, and 7. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We want to keep Pastor Howard in prayer. He'll be ministering at the Holiness Conference in Junction City. Let's remember him. Hold up our man of God, that God would use him. Be a blessing to that people. Amen. Psalm chapter 86, verse number 5. For thou, Lord, art good. Somebody say he's good. And ready to forgive. I just like how that reads. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. You notice that he knows and he acknowledges that the Lord is good, and that the Lord is ready to forgive, and he's ready to show mercy unto them that would call upon the Lord. And so, knowing that, he begins to call upon the Lord. Attend unto my prayer. Hear my voice. The day of my trouble I will call upon thee. And he does that because he understands and he has a revelation. For thou wilt answer me. He's ready to forgive. Praise the Lord. I'm going to preach for the next few moments. Forgiveness, an act of mercy. An act of mercy. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated. Through the Word of God, we understand that we have a sinful nature. The nature of a fallen humanity. Sin entered into the first human family when, through disobedience, Adam and Eve partook of that forbidden fruit. Apostle Paul writes concerning this, and he said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned. After David's grievous sin against Uriah, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, in his psalm of repentance, he acknowledges that he was a sinner even from the womb. Psalm 51 and 5, he said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And so from the very conception, he understood and he realized that he was a sinner. The psalmist wrote about a time when God looked upon the earth and all that he could find was people who had evil deeds. In Psalm 14 and 2, he said, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Genesis records a time when God regretted ever making man. It had gotten to that point where their sin was a stench in the nostrils of God. And he regretted making man when he saw how utterly sinful man had become. Genesis chapter 6, It records, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man upon the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And so we see throughout Scripture that it did not take man long to fall to the depths of sin. It did not take man very long to grieve the heart of God and to break his heart, as it were, because God is he's desiring that relationship with man. And sin messed all of that up, and sin caused a great gulf between man and God. And so there was this sin problem. But we don't have to look very far. We don't have to look in the Scripture to understand the depravity of men. We just have to simply even look it up on our own lives. If we're honest with ourselves, we have to look upon our own failures. And I know today that I'm not preaching to perfect people. I'm fairly certain there's no halos or wings sprouting. If so, I haven't seen evidence. Amen. We all have a past that we wish we could forget. Amen. There's no one too holy that can't look back and say, and I wish that would have never happened, and I wish I'd never done that. And you look back upon your record, and it doesn't make you very happy. Amen. Because we are sinners. We are sinners. We have a past we wish we could forget. John said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And so, can you imagine how many times David must have kicked himself for fulfilling the lust of his flesh? And the consequences of that sin, even after finding forgiveness and the mercy of God and all of this, there was that sin and its consequences that he had to live with. Can you imagine Apostle Paul having to deal with the fact that he had personally seen to it that innocent Christians were murdered? Maybe your record book looks a little different. I'm sure that it does. It doesn't quite have some of these sins that we see when we look into the Scripture. But each of us have things in our past that we wish we could go back and do it different, and go back and completely erase that from the record, and wish that it had never happened. And if we looked at the frailty of humanity without factoring in the mercy of God, this would be a very depressing subject, wouldn't it? I didn't come to you to make you feel bad today. Amen. We're gonna go somewhere in the Holy Ghost. Amen. But the mercy of God. I'm reminded about the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, and these men dragged her before Jesus and accused her of this sin that she had committed. And of course, you know the story. They were really trying to trap Jesus and all of this. But I'm gonna touch on a part of this that I want to bring out. But they were ready to stone her because of her infidelity, and Jesus did not condone her sin, did he? He did not ignore her sin, and he won't condone or ignore our sin either. But neither did he allow those self-righteous accusers go unchecked. Surely his words rattled them. It was as a blow to their ego and to their self-righteousness when he said, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone first cast a stone at her. Yeah, who's got the halo on today? Who's got a clear record today? Who has taken care of it all today? And he looked at them, and with shame and with guilt, they cast their stone down to the ground. And one by one, the Bible said they left them. And so that stone of judgment, as it were, dropped from their hands as they understood, I myself am a sinner. And Jesus looked at the woman and he said, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Quit sinning. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. This is a beautiful illustration of God preferring mercy over judgment. The prophet Micah declared that God retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. Oh, hallelujah. I said he delighteth in mercy. I don't think we fully appreciate the mercy of God today. When God dealt with Adam and Eve, the very first sinners, the mercy of God was on full display. The mercy of God. Adam and Eve, they were the ones supposed to die. That was the penalty for their sin. Truly, the wages of sin is death. The just reward of our sin is the payment of death. But as that song goes, mercy said no. I'm glad that one day mercy stepped in. And where judgment was ready to execute vengeance against me, the mercy of God reached me. Hallelujah. Reached me where I was and rescued me. Praise the name of the Lord. Judgment was satisfied when God killed that innocent animal. Said judgment was satisfied. And mercy was complete when the life and the soul of Adam and Eve were spared. Judgment and mercy. The same God declared to Ezekiel that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But later in that chapter, he goes on and explains, but if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do all which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. I'm not going to bring them up before him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. He goes on to say, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? The answer today is no. He does not have pleasure in the death of the wicked, but he delighteth in mercy. He delighteth in mercy. And so we see that God's holiness demands justice and judgment for sin. Yet God's mercy provides a way of escape for our sin. We would be lost without help. We would be lost without a remedy if it wasn't for the mercy of God, if it wasn't for his riches and mercy. Oh, hallelujah. The wages of sin is death, as I quoted, but I didn't quote this last part. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, we'd all be consumed. We'd all be destined to a lake of fire. We'd all be on our way to hell. That would be our just reward for God's mercy. Mercy was extended to Adam and Eve when God killed an innocent animal. That animal suffered and died in my place. Amen. In Adam's place, that animal died. In Eve's place, that animal died, and judgment was satisfied. Mercy was extended to you and I when Jesus Christ, in his sinless innocence, died on the cross for our sins. We were once sinners, weren't we? Fulfilling the lust and the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were by nature the children of wrath, as Ephesians said. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Amen. I want you to see this Psalm of David. In fact, if you want to throw this on the board and stay with me, you can. But David had a revelation of the mercy of God. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse number 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Then he begins to list some benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth my mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made ways known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. I want you to let that soak in. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Oh, hallelujah. For he knoweth our frame.
Right. Yes, sir. Right.
He remembereth that we are but dust. He talks about a man's days are as grass and a flower. It's gonna come and go and fade, and the wind's gonna pass over and it's gonna be gone. But 17 says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children's, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. You'd better thank God for his mercy. Oh, hallelujah. I wonder if anybody's appreciating the mercy of God here this evening. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, Apostle Paul, he describes our struggle. He had observed something in his own life that there was a principle, and he calls it a law, but if you get to looking, he's really just talking about a principle that he observed in his own life, that when he wanted to do good, there was evil present with him. How many know how that feels? And Paul, one of the great missionaries, one of the great men of the Bible, was transparent before us. And he said, look, my heart's right. I want to do good, and I want to keep the commandments, and I want, but I recognize this principle that when I want to do good, evil is right there present with me. And there's a war in my members. There is an internal struggle. There is a war between the flesh and the spirit. I'm on the right path, and I'm doing the right thing, and I'm in the church, and I'm striving to be everything that God wants me to be. But there is this struggle within me. There is this constant battle, this constant war that I am facing. There's a pull of sin that each of us have to contend with. Amen. Am I alone in this thing today? All right, I didn't think so. And so we come to this time like Apostle Paul came to in 7:24 of Romans. And he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body? Deliver me from the body of this death." And as long as we're living, we're going to have temptation of sin. I said, as long as you're on this earth and in this frail humanity, you're going to face temptation to sin. Amen. Stay with me a little while here. But Paul also said in 1 Corinthians, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." You're not alone in this. But God is faithful. I said, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye shall be able to bear it. What is he saying? Yes, there's a war in your members. Don't get all down and depressed because you're facing temptation. Don't let the enemy of your soul lie to you and bombard your mind, because you're dealing with that old flesh, that old nature of sin, because you feel the struggle, because it's not always the mountaintop. He said there's going to be temptation, but my God is faithful, and he's going to make a way of escape for you, and you don't have to fall in temptation, and you've got power. And so the devil will try to condemn you for being tempted.
Yes, he will. That's right.
But I want you to remember something, that Jesus was also tempted.
Yes, he was. Yes, sir.
And the Bible said that he was without sin.
Yes, sir. Right.
And so I'm here to tell somebody today that temptation, when you receive temptation, it is not a sin unto you.
Right. Right, sir. Amen.
But the devil will come and bombard your mind, and he will come and lie to you and make you feel condemnation when you haven't even committed a sin. Now, I don't feel like I have to qualify too much here today, but you know I am not giving anybody justification for sin or for contemplating sin, but because God knows the heart, and the Word of God, it is a discerner between the thought and the intent. And so as I'm preaching, you better be honest with yourself, because if you're here contemplating sin and you're here trying to devise ways that you can sin and get by, I'm not talking to you right now. I will be in a minute. But I'm talking to those that are trying to live for God, that are putting one step in front of the other. But it seems like on every side there's a war. It seems like every time I turn around, there's that temptation to do that which I don't want to do. But that pull is there. That pull of sin is there. And I'm preaching to somebody, you need to get liberated from condemnation and understand that even Jesus was tempted. Oh, hallelujah. Even Jesus have some weak moments in the flesh, and he said temptation came to him, but you know what he did? Get thee behind me, Satan. Yeah, he used the word against him. He told him what he ought to do. He didn't entertain that old lying spirit.
Right,
but I feel like some of us today are beaten down because you are in the struggle, and you're thinking to yourself, if I'm living for God and I'm doing what's right, why do I feel this struggle? Why is this war? I'm telling you, because you're in the fight, because we haven't made it to heaven yet. Oh, hallelujah. Let's give the Lord some praise right here. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I praise your name, Jesus. I praise your name, Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, I'm in the flesh. Yeah. You've got flesh. And you've got the nature of that flesh to contend with. But there is a new nature inside of you. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you've been given a new nature. You've been given the Spirit of God. And what happens is when we feed that old nature, things become harder and harder and harder. But when we begin to feed the new nature, amen, when we begin to focus upon the things of the Spirit and putting away the lust of the flesh and putting away the carnal desires, there's sometimes in this old battle, we've got to buckle down and say, flesh, you're not getting the upper hand on me. Flesh, you're not going to win this war. Yeah, I'm in a war, but I know what to do. I know where to go when I'm in trouble. I know who to call. Woo, hallelujah. Yeah, is your soul worth pushing back the plate for? Is your soul worth coming to the church early and staying late for? I'm telling you, there's times in this old struggle we've got to put our face in the carpet and say, God, I'm in a struggle. I'm in a war. I'm fighting for my soul. And he heareth those that call upon him. Humanity has a propensity to hide and to cover. I don't think we fully appreciate the mercy of God. And I don't think we fully appreciate how ready God is to forgive. Adam and Eve, what did they do? First thing they did when they sinned, they hid from the presence of the Lord. They covered to the best of their inadequate ability. When Achan sinned, he hid those things. He didn't want anybody to see them, as if God would not see them. David had Uriah killed and trying to hide his sin from. Pride gets in the way, doesn't it? When we sin and we hide, who are we hiding from? We hiding from a God who is plenteous in mercy? I know I'm shifting gears here a little bit, but we're going to deal with something here today. Who are you going to hide from? The God who prefers mercy over judgment. The God who gets pleasure by showing mercy to his creation. And yet, something happens within our mind, and the devil begins to capitalize. And what might have been, and I hesitate to use this language, but I think it'll help you understand, what might have been more of a slip and fall versus a real determination to go sin. You understand? A weak moment, a bad mistake, and a sin. It still is a sin, understand? But there is a difference between that contemplated sin and ah, why did I do that? You know?
My God, yes, sir.
Amen. And the devil steps in. And his job is to condemn us. And so he fills our minds with all kinds of lies, and he capitalizes on our weakness, and we begin to try to hide from the very God who wants to forgive. Our first natural reaction is to cover and to hide and to have a low profile. And all the while, God sees all, and he knows all. And he's not going to condone your sin, and he's not going to let your sin go unchecked. And yet all the while, there's mercy. There's mercy that wants to work. 1 John 2 and 1 says, my little children, these things I write, write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the one we try to hide from. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous. There is only one thing that activates God's mercy, and it has nothing to do with your last name. It has nothing to do with your social status. It has nothing to do with any of your talents or ability, your money or lack of, or anything else. But the honest and the sincere heart who comes to God with repentance is what activates the mercy of God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Who am I preaching to right now? I'm preaching to God's people who might find themselves in a place of sin. And they don't want to be there. And they don't want to live that way. And then they're tired of running and hiding and covering. And he said, if you'll come and you'll pray, you'll humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. If you will repent, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. I'm telling you, he stands ready. Ready to forgive, David said. One of my favorite verses, I think, at least in this topic, is 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. I said he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I won't be very much longer. Help me out. In the Ark of the Covenant lay the tablets of stone, among other things. Written on those tablets of stone were the law of God. I was thinking this afternoon, how many times throughout history were those laws broken? When you consider the population, from the time those laws were written and etched in that stone until now, the number would be staggering. Right above where that table of stone, the law of God sat or laid, was the mercy seat. Literally meaning a cover or a lid. The mercy seat symbolized God's mercy overspreading the broken laws contained on the tables in the ark under the mercy seat. Man had broken the laws again and again and again. But overshadowing all that was the mercy of God. We need a fresh appreciation for God's mercy upon us today. For the mercy of God that would grant us the opportunity to repent of our sins. I know who I'm preaching to today. And normally when we talk about repentance and forgiveness and mercy of God, we're talking to those that are living in sin and need saved. I just felt to bring this to the church tonight. Paul said, I die daily. He had an appreciation for what repentance was all about. Now look, when we've repented, the blood of Christ covers those sins. Don't go dabbling in the blood. I'm not preaching to you. You need to get up every day and try to remember all the sins that you've ever committed and ask God to forgive you again. That's not what I'm preaching. Say, well, I haven't committed any gross sin. I haven't. I don't know about you, but I find it pretty easy to ask God to forgive me on a daily basis. I don't have near the wings some of y'all have. You know what I'm saying? I'm being a little facetious, but I'm trying to help us understand that when we really appreciate the mercy of God that has granted to us the opportunity to come before a God who delights in mercy, who is not wanting to judge us for sin, but He wants us to put those sins on the altar where they can be judged by the cross and where the blood of Christ can cover them. I'm telling you, there is such a liberty that comes when you understand that repentance takes care of those sins. There is therefore now no condemnation. When you take care of sins at the altar, He casts them as far as the east is from the west. And He remembers it not against you. And so don't ever let the devil come against you and say, look, you did this and that. No, that's under the blood. That's under the blood. Jesus, in the house of the Pharisee, when that woman of ill repute came and began to wash His feet, break the bottle of perfume, and Simon was distraught in his heart and said, does this prophet, is he a prophet? If he's a prophet, he should know that this woman is a sinner. And Jesus' comment was, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. I'm telling you right now, the mercy of God is in this place. I wonder if anybody, we're going to stand right here. I wonder if anybody says, you know what? I want to take advantage of the mercy of God. You know what this will do? I don't have time to get into everything that I wanted to, but you know what this will do? When you get a revelation of the mercy of God and you bring things before Him daily, and sometimes it's just, God, I'm sorry that I'm such a wretched man. Maybe you don't have anything specific that day that you feel like you want to make sure is right between you and God. God, I'm just sorry. I'm not everything I need to be. God, please forgive me. You understand what I mean? And you know what happens? There comes a liberty. There comes an understanding that as I go through my day and the devil comes bombarding you, no. I've already took care of things between me and God. I'll tell you what I feel right now. Some of you want to be used of God, but you live so condemned that you don't want to open your mouth and you don't have the boldness to be what God wants you to be because you are living under condemnation. And God wants to set you free of that today. Look, if there's sin, get it taken care of. It doesn't take long to come down with an attitude of repentance and say, God, I'm done with this. I'm finished with this. Get it taken care of at the altar and walk out of here with boldness in the Holy Ghost. God's mercy has been activated. Anybody want to pray tonight? I didn't come preaching judgment, condemnation. I come preaching hope. I've come preaching hope. I've come preaching liberty to somebody that you could lay down your self-righteousness and say, God, I'm in need of your mercy tonight. Maybe you just want to come and say, God, I'm thankful that you've saved me. I'm thankful, Lord, that you didn't let me die in my sin. I'm thankful for the mercy of God that came and found me when judgment was on my heels. I'm thankful for it. These altars are open right now. Who wants to come and tell God how much you appreciate his mercy tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Somebody's going to leave with victory. Somebody's going to leave with revelation. Somebody's going to leave with an understanding of the great mercy of God. Oh. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on, don't forget his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. He's got tender mercies here for you tonight. He's plenteous. He's plenteous in mercy. He's rich in mercy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, that's it, that's it, that's it. Come on, I need you, God. I'm not too proud to tell you I need your help tonight. Sorry for my sins. I pray, God, forgive me today. And I have this confidence that you hear me when I pray, and that you're faithful, and that you're just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me of all my unrighteousness, oh God.
I need your grace.